the motion to go back in regular session. We'll come out of executive to regular, please.
I make a motion we go back, we come out of executive session back into regular session.
Mr. Rogers, you want to second that, please?
Second.
Thank you. We move to second that we come out of executive and back in regular session. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips, not in in the room. Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Have we got?
Dave out,
too. Just, everybody, just give us a couple seconds. We'll shift gears here. And just for public knowledge, we during the beginning of the meeting, we moved conditional use 1723 to the front of the list. All right. On the agenda change. So 1723, John Willie / Peninsula Oil will be number one. Number two will be conditional use, excuse me, zone change 1629, and then conditional 1721. Since we get everybody in the right spot here. Okay, we got enough. We got enough yeses or noes, whatever it may be. We'll start the evening public hearing session, and we run our operation just a little bit different than what planning and zoning does. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Griffith to explain the game rules. Mr. Griffith.
Good evening. When the council holds public hearings on zoning applications or legislative hearings, council uses the information obtained during the hearing to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning ordinance in the manner requested by the application. After each application is called, Mr. Lank will give a report on what happened at the time of the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After that, and any questions that council members may have, we will ask the applicant, the person filing the application, or whoever is representing that person, to come forward, identify themselves by name and address, and explain why the applicant would like to have the application granted. After the applicant has made their presentation, we'll then give an opportunity for anyone else who is present who is in support of the application to be heard, and then we'll recognize anyone who might be here with a position to take in opposition to any application. After that, then the matter of council will decide what action to take, if any. If planning and zoning has taken action, then council may also act, or they could decide to defer until a later date. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. The first application is conditional use number 1723, the application of John Willie, care of Peninsula Oil, to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a C1 general commercial district for a mini storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9.93 acres, more or less, lying southwest of U.S. Route 113, 1,800 feet south of Route 26. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on February 14th of 2008. For the benefit of the council, I've provided copies to them of the survey and site plan for this application, and also a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that's going to be presented by on behalf of the applicants. The commission heard and during the public hearing comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Sussex Conservation District, and the Department of Transportation. Ken Christianberry was present as representative of Axiom Engineering on behalf of Sharon Jester and George Edward Long, the owners of the property, and gave testimony. Carl Haller was present as attorney on behalf of the owners and stated that they ratify the presentation made by Mr. Christianberry. The commission found that there were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, stating that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1723 for a mini storage facility based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project is located in a development district according to the county's comprehensive land use plan update. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Three, the project is located along U.S. Route 113, which is an appropriate location for such a use. Four, the use as a mini storage facility is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the neighboring properties and community. And five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, there shall not be any building contractors or subcontractors' offices or workshops within the project. Two, there shall not be any storage of building materials or other construction materials within the project. Three, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on any neighboring residential properties. Four, no outside storage shall be allowed on premise. Five, fencing shown on the proposed site plan with screening shall be installed along the border of the mini storage site so that the mini storage facility is screened from view from any adjacent residential properties. Six, access to the facility shall be limited to daylight hours. And seven, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Gentlemen, to date, I've received no additional comments from any agency or individual on this application. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions of Mr. Lang?
I don't think so. Go ahead, Jeff.
Mr. Christenberry, are you the representative?
Good evening. Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering. I'll try to be fairly brief with this. It's a relatively straightforward application. The first page you'll have is just a section that defines when conditional uses are appropriate, and I believe you'll find that is the case with this application.
I've not seen it.
The property is located in the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan in a developing area. The frontage of the property is actually already zoned C1 General Commercial, as is all the property that is adjacent. Site is located right here. The yellow area is called the developing area. The red strip is the commercial strip, which, as you can see, extends pretty much from Dagsboro all the way down to Frankfort. Property has been filed with several government agencies, including the Tax Ditch Drainage Division of Denrec. Property is served by a tax ditch but does not have any easements located on the property. DelDOT was consulted as to whether or not a traffic impact study would be required for this conditional use. Their attached service level evaluation indicates that no traffic impact study is required. There was an indication earlier that there may be an impact to the property by the DelDOT North-South study, the 113 study. I believe the current recommendation they're pursuing is an eastern bypass around Dagsboro, which would not affect this property, but can't always tell with DelDOT. The property as it exists today, it's largely an agricultural field with woods in the rear and an existing farmhouse on the front. The site as it's proposed is to leave the C1 property undeveloped and reserved for future development. It's anticipated that at some point within the next decade, central sewer may be extended by Sussex County out to this area, and at that time the balance of the property would be developed under the C1 zoning that it already has. The mini storage is proposed to simply be supported with portable toilet facilities and not have any central sewer. The character of the neighborhood is always a big question with conditional uses, and we took several photographs of sites that are within an easy reach of this property. There's a medical office, a Royal Farms, brand new office facilities near Dagsboro. Two different radio or telecommunication towers are both within easy view of this site. That is the tire store that's across the highway. furniture store, the water filtration company, a gas station. Clearly, the site is dominated by existing commercial uses. There are several residential homes like this one. The subject property is actually to the rear behind this home, but this home is physically located in C1 general commercially zoned property. And it's anticipated, I would imagine, that at the time central sewer becomes available, these properties will be converted from a residential to a more intense use. And this is the view that that home currently enjoys of the water company. The other homes across the highway have similar views of other commercial sites in the area. So it's not, conditional use doesn't represent any change in the character of the neighborhood, as it has already been largely converted to commercial. This is the house that's closest to the applicant's location. The applicant's land would actually be developed back there. I went through the approved conditions, or the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission. There were a few I was hoping to clarify or possibly request that you amend them. Condition number 4 states that no outside storage shall be allowed on the premises. We would ask for an exception for boats and RVs. I believe the intent was that there not be trash or lumber or things of that nature stored outside, but they may like to be able to offer to their customers boat and RV storage. Comment number 2 appeared to be redundant in light of comment number 4. It states there shall not be any storage of building materials or other construction materials within the project. I believe the intent of that would be that there not be lumber stored outside. If someone were to want to store lumber or drywall inside of a mini storage unit, I would hope that that would not be prohibited. So we'd like comment number 2 to be stricken in light of comment or condition number 4.
Well, you could just put out, could not be stored outside.
Well, number 4 says no outside storage.
Right.
So I think number 2 becomes possibly, could just be stricken to simplify things, but that would be our request.
I don't think number 2 means inside. I think inside would be permissible.
I guess the language is unclear as I see it. Maybe Mr. Griffin can offer some insight as to how to best do it. But since number 4 prohibits outside storage, I think that covers the most important issue that the Planning Commission had in mind. So, again, we would request that number 2 be stricken. Number 4 allow an exception for boats and RVs. And number 6, there was a discussion with the Planning Commission about the operating hours. I initially said daylight hours would be fine. I have discussed with the applicant since the Planning Commission that perhaps allowing it to be open till 7 p.m. in the winter would be appropriate, so that if someone gets off work at 5 o'clock and they can't get there before dark, that they could at least get in till 7 throughout the year. So that I would ask that that be reworded to say access to the facility shall be limited to daylight hours or 7 p.m., whichever is later, so that during the summer they could continue to access during the later hours as long as daylight persisted. And with that, I have nothing further. I'd be pleased to entertain any questions council may have.
How about on the outside storage of boats and trailers you referenced?
Yes.
What comes to mind is as I go in down Route 17 into Selbyville, there's a place that has a lot of boats
looks
and trailers like and their storage.
Looks
and
trashy.
And it's the biggest eyesore, and the town officials are always complaining when they see me at different things about that.
Do they have a?
You don't have any designated area. Is there a designated area? Because you got all these buildings. I mean, where would you? I think you need to designate a spot for that type of vehicles. And see, that's where the grass all grows up, and it's helter skelter. It looks, and it is an eyesore.
The entire property is to be provided with a privacy fence upon the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
I got a fence around this one, but you can see through it.
You can see
good.
Through it. The fence that we're going to be required is going to have privacy slats. That's what the Planning Commission.
But right now, you just show all buildings. Mm-hmm. Is there an area you want to designate?
Maybe what the intent would be to phase in the buildings from the front and do that storage in the back. And if they find that after they've built half the buildings that the back has the demand for boats and RVs, that essentially a supply and demand scenario would start, but they would put the boat and RVs would be stored in the rear and the buildings would be placed in the front.
Maybe Mr. Lank could share the commission's reasons for saying no outside storage.
Well,
It was discussed. I don't think, I thought the commission understood there would be no boats and RVs because the site plan shows a total coverage of buildings and drives.
Yeah. The idea of boats and RVs come up at the hearing?
I don't think. It might have been discussed, but it wasn't really put in the minutes, but it wasn't something the applicant was asking for at that time.
Oh, okay.
And the last thing that was said was that there will be no outside storage materials, vehicles, trailers, or boats. That was from the applicant. Or from Ken, actually, mm-hmm. at that time.
That's a change.
And it does happen. They do.
It's a request for a change, if you all believe it's reasonable. If the condition stays as is, we understand.
Well, I would rather see us, if this site plan gets filed, I'd rather see maybe an area designated for the boats, so we don't go out there. Because it could be years before all these buildings get put in, and it may just look like, you know, the stuff's like the place on Route 17 going into Selbyville. It looks like the devil hit it or something. Looks pretty bad.
What do they just have, a chain link fence?
Well, I don't know, but somehow the county overlooked and didn't put enough stipulations in to make that place look decent or that we can enforce to make the owners clean it up. But it is pretty rough looking.
Okay.
And it seems that they don't really care. So I would rather see if you could just maybe...
Designate an area?
Yeah, if you could come back with a designated area, you know, on a plan, and then we just defer on it for a week or something.
I could either, if Mr. Griffin says that's possible, or if you just want to put that in as a stipulation for the Planning Commission to approve.
We'll
have a site plan review with the Planning Commission.
They can go to that plan review, could they, if we put that as a stipulation, Mark?
If you put them all the way in the back, Ken, they're going to be totally...
I got to try to write one.
Invisible from the road.
Well, one of the stipulations was that the...
Correct. Yeah, if they're all the way in the back, they would be fairly...
You won't be able to see them at all from the road.
I don't really think so. And all the neighboring properties, if we were to go in this area back here...
You got a lot of trees.
You've got a lot of trees on the neighboring properties. Of course, we'd have a fence running with our property line.
But you're not going to cut all those... I mean, I can't imagine they're going to be clearing that site and putting that fence around and not have much going on there. I mean, are you going to put the big fence around immediately?
We haven't made a final decision on that. That certainly is a possibility.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. There's nothing in here that says when the fence goes up and when this, would boats start going in there first? I don't know. I mean, it just...
I have a question, I'd like to ask Mr. Lang. If council allowed boats and trailers and motorhomes and that type of thing to be stored there and didn't limit the area or the percentage of area where they could be stored, would the applicant be able to fill this up with those types of vehicles and just not build the buildings?
Well, what I would suggest is that boats and RVs, if you give that consideration, that boats and RVs may be stored to the rear of the site temporarily in a designated area. You have to establish the area that's going to be used until all buildings are completed. That way you've got a reference that once the buildings are completed, the RVs and boats and
stuff go away.
The other thing go away.
Right.
Because there isn't any place else to put them, because you need a certain driveway width between the buildings to be able to access the units and that. Yeah, there isn't anything left.
There's no place to put them, right?
Then they can make the decision whether it's more profitable to store the boats and RVs or put the building there.
And it could be a designated area, but it'd be required to be shown at a temporary site for that boat. For the RV and
instead of all over the place, Dale. I think he's saying is there needs to be a designated spot. Right. So they need to designate for planning and zoning purposes or our purposes. There's a number of ways we can skin the cat, but
how'd you word that, Mr. Lang?
Boats and RVs may be stored to the rear of the site temporarily, and the designated area approved per site plan. That would be required by the commission.
Mm-hmm. And our thoughts are that it's not going to be a huge area. It should be a smaller area because...
You can establish the area.
We don't need to, but...
Until all buildings are completed, basically.
He can come up with a drawing and take it to you guys.
Okay. Works for me.
That way you got an area set aside just for that purpose. It's designated, and
so
they would progressively add the buildings. And once the buildings got back there, then they would be gone.
And that number two about there should not be any storage of building materials or other construction materials within the project, you could just say there, except within an enclosed storage unit.
Well, basically, number four says no outside storage shall be allowed on the premise, and if you would only be allowing boats, RVs, and trailers.
Yeah, okay.
So we want to strike two?
Strike two.
So number four is going to be modified by this one, the language you gave about boats and RVs.
I use boats and RVs because I don't know if you want to get into automobiles and trailers.
They do not want a salvage yard.
No. I'm just saying that because the mobile home type unit would be higher than the fence, so you'd still know it was there.
Right.
There's a problem across the road that needs to be controlled. So,
the number four that says no outside storage shall be allowed on the premises is the part, Mr. Lank, that you read about boats and RVs, a further modification of number four?
It could be.
Because if you didn't...
Or it could be eight, doesn't matter.
If you make it number eight, then they're going to be in conflict.
Okay, well, you say it's number four.
Okay, and you could say accept that.
Okay.
In a designated area, to be designated by the P&Z Commission, I guess.
So number four would then read, no, if you approve it, once you hear all the comments from the public, no outside storage shall be allowed on premises, except that boats and RVs may be stored to the rear of the site temporarily in a designated area approved by site plan until all buildings are complete.
That's great. Good. We appreciate your flexibility, gentlemen.
That concludes everything you had, Mr. Christenberg.
Number six, we were hoping that 7 p.m. closing time in the winter would be acceptable.
Or daylight or 7 p.m.
Daylight or 7 p.m., whichever is later.
What he read was access to the facility shall be limited to daylight hours or 7 p.m., whichever is later.
Right.
That works.
It's over.
So there is no number two.
And
number two be gone.
Strike number
two. The handout we have before us is identical to your slide presentation.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else who would like to be heard in support of this application?
Good evening, gentlemen. Carl Haller, 56, and I represent the owners of the property. That's Sharon Jester and George Long, and they're present here, and there are two other owners, Ms. Wilkerson and Mr. Littleton, and they're also in favor of the application. Everybody favors the application who owns the property. There has been discussion with Mr. Christensen about the conditions, and we ratify Mr. Christensen's requests as regards the conditions, and we appreciate the way you've worked on adjusting the conditions also.
Thank you.
Mr. Howell, you made reference to 56. After you state your name, is your bar number?
Pardon?
He just gave
birth. Oh, it's his age.
Yeah, I wish.
The commission typically asks the attorney to come forward their bar number is.
Okay. So they follow you guys around with a barcode?
That was Mr. Allen's thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
For anybody else who wants to speak in favor of this, anyone here who is in opposition to this that would like to be heard? Let the record show no one else asked to be identified. Pleasure, gentlemen.
Close it, please. Read the title.
Let's see. We will close the public hearing. The title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and a C1 general commercial district for a managed storage facility to be located in certain parts of land lying and being a DAG for 100, containing 9.93 acres, more or less.
Make a motion to approve CU 1723 with the six conditions, number two being eliminated, and number four and number seven, I guess, or unless you can move the numbers up either way, be amended.
Okay. Number four is a second, gentlemen.
Second.
We moved a second that we could approve conditional use 1723 with the amended conditions as stated in the motion. Number two being gone, number four being amended, number
seven.
Well,
six.
Six on the original seven will be amended.
And the number, the item number will be renumbered to match.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Lawrence. Mr. Cole.
Yes, with the conditions, I believe it's an appropriate change.
Chair Phillips.
Based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning with the adjustments, I vote yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes, for the conditions.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes, for the conditions.
I vote yes also with the conditions. Motion passed.
There we go.